Good morning, everybody. Hello. My name is Thomas, and we haven't had a chance to meet yet. I'm one of the family pastors here, so that just means I work with families who have kids, youth, and young adults. Happy to be with you this morning, and today we continue our series on the book or letter of 1 Corinthians. It's a letter that the Apostle Paul writes to a young church in Corinth, a church that he helped to start. Last week, Joseph was talking about the first part. He started chapter 2 for us, and where the Apostle Paul talks about preaching the gospel without a reliance on human skill or eloquence. So I guess maybe Joseph was trying to see who fit that description, no skill, no eloquence, and he thought, I don't know, was that the thinking behind it, Joseph? Anyway, so without eloquence, we continue 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Thank you. I love you. If you don't have a Bible here, I'm going to stall for you so you can get one if you want. It's at the back table. It's a black table at the main entrance of the sanctuary in this direction. Don't be shy. Go ahead and grab one if you want. You can borrow it or keep it, no problem. If you brought a physical Bible with you, would you do me a favor and put it in the air right now so I can see it? Kudos to you guys. You know, we really try, on youth nights, we are trying to encourage the youth to use a physical Bible, right? I love my screenagers, but I love them, the kids that we hang out with every Tuesday. And I have the Bible app on my phone, but I always tell them there's nothing like the Bible without the apps. There's nothing like it. So if you have a Bible, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're reading verses 6 to 16. Chapter 2, 6 to 16. And if you're able to, I would ask that you please stand with me to honor God's word as we read it together. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 16. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen and what no ear has heard, and when no human mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. May God bless the reading of his word. You can go ahead and have a seat. Thank you. So I'm thankful for today's text. I'm especially thankful that in the verses right before this, when Paul talks about preaching with skill and eloquence, he says that it is not the main thing. Rather, the message of Jesus' saving work on the cross for you and me is the main thing. The message of God, it's only weakened by the one who thinks that, you know, his communication skills are what causes people to be changed, right? Like watered down juice. I don't know if anyone else here was raised on Tang. Does anybody here know Tang? Orange, delicious in the 90s? No? But Tang, or powdered iced tea, or whatever discount juice you were having at picnics, right? When too much water is added, right? They're just gross, right? They taste disgusting. Church barbecue swill, right? Right? The crystals, right? The crystals, this precious powder, right, is inviting the water to make something beautiful. At least, you know, at least beautiful to the average preteen, right? So they're inviting the water to make something beautiful. But too much water causes it to taste weak and leaves a bad taste in your mouth. In the same way, God invites us to take part in his saving work by sharing the gospel in all the ends of the earth. But when we add more of ourselves to these tang crystals, instead of trusting in the potency of this gospel, it just weakens the gospel message. So in verses 1-5, you know, Paul, he pulls back the curtain on how he's decided to preach to the Corinthians, right? You know, because he wants them to put their faith and their trust in God's power and not in teachers who preach with panache. Right? And now in verses 6-16, Paul, he encourages them to lean on God's wisdom instead of the world's wisdom. So in this chapter, Paul, he addresses two problems with the church in Corinth. The first being that they tended to value performance and persuasion over the powerful, plainly spoken preaching of the gospel. And to this, Paul says, hey, put your faith in God's power instead of human speech and skill. And the second problem, the one he addresses in the text we're in today, stems from the pursuit of wisdom being so important to these people. Right? Paul sees how seeking earthly wisdom is being prioritized above seeking God's wisdom and instruction. So basically, Paul, he first says, you know, here's some preaching with no frills, just the good news of Jesus Christ, right? Not human wisdom, but God's power. And then Paul, understanding the Corinthians' longing for wisdom, says, you know, just so you know, this is still a message of wisdom, right? It's just not the kind of wisdom that you've been seeking. It's not wisdom as you see it, right? It's something better. And to help the church in Corinth understand this, Paul first makes that distinction between God's wisdom and the world's wisdom, saying in verse 6 that he speaks a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, right? He makes it clear that he is speaking wisdom, but a kind of wisdom that's only understood by those who are mature. Now, what does Paul mean by mature? He doesn't mean those who are 18 years of age and older, right? He means believers, those enlightened by the Holy Spirit. You know, and this wisdom is not the wisdom of this age or its rulers, who Paul says are coming to nothing. That's what he says. The world's wisdom, the rulers and influencers of the time, they're all going to fade away, right? And the Corinthians are to cling to the wisdom that will not fade. I think Paul, he could very well write a similar letter to the church in Canada today. There are so many voices vying for our attention, using all the methods of rhetoric and persuasion, and sometimes, like the church in Corinth, we can be drawn to earthly wisdom of various authors, news reporters, podcasters, I just triggered all the millennials, and other content creators, valuing it above God's wisdom. And there are some very smart and interesting people in this world, you know, some of which I'll read or listen to. And sometimes when I hear them, I really do feel like their words are helping to make sense of some of the things going on in this world. But if I'm honest with myself, I do need to be aware of two things. There are two things I need to consider when I'm taking in these voices. First, in many cases, these genuinely intelligent and interesting people are not believers, right? So although I might agree with a lot of the things they're saying, I need to keep in mind that we do not share the same core values, right? We don't have that the most important thing in common, right, which is Jesus and faith in him. Their opinions, don't actually consider God's plan or commands. Sort of a problem. The second thing I know is that, you know, the world's issues, they're constantly changing. And influential people, leaders, their ideas, the wisdom of this age, it's all going to pass away. Think about how much earthly wisdom has changed in just your lifetime. How much earthly wisdom has come and gone since you've been alive. So in your head, I'm going to ask you, can you think of anything that was true at one point in your life that is not true anymore? Right? One example, here's one example that comes to my mind immediately. This year is... the food pyramid, okay? So this food pyramid diagram was what was used when I was in elementary school, right? You know, so this outlines a healthy diet, the base of which is bread and other wheat products, right? So I don't know, like literally half the people in my life feel awful when they eat bread. I don't know about you. You know, there are others too. You know, cholesterol used to be the enemy of a healthy diet, and now eggs are cool again, right? Vaping was a healthier alternative to smoking for like 10 minutes, right? There are all kinds of examples, and if you think of a good one, I would love if you shared it with me in the lobby later. Actually, cholesterol was an example that somebody gave me from the first service. Yeah, the point is, right, that there are so many things people are telling me are good, are important, are dangerous, are evil, are healthy, right? It's all so overwhelming, right? It's really, for me, it's honestly overwhelming. If I hear it so much all the time and it's changing so often that often I just feel overwhelmed to think, you know what? All I really know is that Jesus died for my sins and rose again. Like that's literally, like that's how I feel, right? You know, and that good news has stood the test of time. And, you know, accepting a gospel and wisdom with eternal implications instead of holding tight to the temporary, right? Accepting a love unlike anything the world or humans, you know, could give you. Accepting a God who loves you so much that he wants to spend eternity with you. You know, these are all very sensible and wise things to do. And now that Paul has appealed to the Corinthians' desire for wisdom, you know, pointing them in the direction of God instead of in the direction of, you know, entertainers, ear ticklers, right? He starts to answer a question that some of us might have, at least I have, after hearing that charge to lean on God's wisdom instead of the world's wisdom. And that's, like, what's so different about God's wisdom? Isn't wisdom just wisdom? Right? Maybe God has more wisdom, but isn't wisdom just wisdom? And if you're following along, you know, maybe check out verses 13 and 14. We might be able to get them up. Verses 13 and 14 say, "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." So the person without God's Spirit doesn't recognize the spiritual aspects of life, right? Wisdom is just wisdom for them. Right? But there is a spiritual reality in life. In verse 13, he says that God's Spirit teaches them concerning spiritual realities. Then in 14, he says that people without the Spirit, those who are not believers, they actually see it as foolishness. And I don't know about you, but for Ellie and I, there are lots of people who we really love and care about who think that our faith is foolishness. Right? They have an inability to discern things like this. They have an inability to be aware of the spiritual realities, it says in 14. If that's you, you feel unable to discern spiritual realities, you feel completely closed off, right? Or you're figuring it out, you think, how can I discern these things? I want to do this. Tell me how I can figure this out. That short answer, you can't. Or rather, you can't, right? You can't. But verse 10, it says, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Right? God's wisdom isn't something that we discover. It's not something that was discovered by Paul. It was revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Right? Verse 13, it reads, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Paul is explaining that wisdom, right, this wisdom, it can only be imparted by the Spirit. Right? What he's speaking about, it's not something that's been discovered by him, but the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. And right after that, in the same verse, he says that he is explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. He's saying, everything we've learned comes from God, and now we pass it on to you. Right? God's Spirit provides us with spiritual insight and Spirit-taught words so that we can understand and share this gospel. And like it says in verse 11, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So just how, you know, you're the one who knows what you're thinking, only God's Spirit knows his thoughts. And the second part of verse 10, right before that, reads, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. In this verse, when I read about the Spirit searching the deep things of God, doing a deep search, first, you got to recognize, it's not saying that the Spirit is trying to discover something that it doesn't already know. Right? The Spirit has all information available to him. But it does remind me of a show that Ellie and I really love to watch. It's National Geographic's To Catch a Smuggler. I don't know if you've ever seen this, right? It showcases the work of airport security agents whose job is to find and seize illegal drugs and other paraphernalia, right? So there's all kinds of things that they use, right? They use search dogs, right? They have all kinds of testing kits. But my favorite is probably the X-ray. I love when they put stuff through the machine and it's like everything that's in there that's not supposed to be in there can be seen, right? They can find it. So when I think about this search, the Holy Spirit searching the deep things, you know, when these agents in this show are putting stuff through the machine, they're trying to find something that they don't have, right? They're not able to know something on their own. So they use this X-ray machine. And I think of the Holy Spirit as more of the X-ray machine, just able to see what is already there and able to reveal to us information that we cannot know on our own. So I just want to make it super clear. No analogy is perfect, especially when talking about God. The Holy Spirit is not a piece of equipment like the X-ray machine, right? You know, we can't just use it for whatever purposes we want. We're asking the Holy Spirit to reveal certain things to us. But I use this to illustrate that the Holy Spirit is able to reveal things that cannot be known on our own. You know, and there are spiritual forces at play in this world. And without an openness to the leading of God's Spirit, we're unable to understand them. We're just closed off to these spiritual realities. And as I close, I just want to encourage you. You know, as verse 16 says, we have been given the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit who knows God's thoughts and who reveals things to us, right? So if you would call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian and you have moments of doubt, I just want to encourage you that the Spirit is the one who teaches us, helping us discern and understand these spiritual realities, right? He is God's presence, and he dwells in the hearts of all who have made that decision to follow Christ. And just as our text says, it's the Spirit who reveals these things to us. Discernment and wisdom from God, You know, these are not something that we can just earn. They're not things that we obtain. It's only revealed to us by God's Spirit. So if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives freely to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. You, as followers of Christ, are the enlightened children of God. You have been given the mind of Christ. You've been given direct access to ancient wisdom, the deep things of God. But it needs to be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that you obtain on your own. And if you're a Christian and you know you have somebody in your life that you care and love deeply, that you would say is completely closed off to the spiritual things, those spiritual realities, and you feel like there's no way they could ever be open to realizing and discerning those things, you got to remember that throughout this passage, it's the Spirit who reveals these things. We are not able to work hard enough to open the eyes of our loved ones, right? We need to pray that God's Spirit would break through, right? God knowing the deep things. And if you're not a believer, maybe you're just dipping your toes in the water. Maybe you're coming back. You're figuring it out. I just want you to know that God loves you deeply, right? Jesus came to die for your sins, to pay the price of what was separating you from God. He wanted to reconcile you to God. And if you accept that sacrifice that Jesus made for you, the Holy Spirit dwells in the hearts of all who follow Jesus. And he will reveal things to you. And you don't have to strive and work at it. It's the Holy Spirit who imparts wisdom and helps us to live the full life he came to offer us. So we're going to have, in a moment, I'm just going to pray, and Joseph's going to come up. We're going to have a time of reflection and prayer and worshiping through music. We're going to have a couple of prayer teams up at the front. I invite you, if you feel like you fit in one of these categories, or you need prayer for anything else, we would love for you to come up and receive prayer. So especially if you fit in one of these groups. You're a Christian who just feels like something's not clicking. Don't totally understand. I have some doubts. I'm going through a rough patch. I need the Holy Spirit's revelation. If you feel like you're a Christian and there's someone in your life who you love so much, you want them to receive the full life that you have, that you've accepted, right? We want to pray for you, and we want to pray for those people. And if you're not a Christian and you're a little confused and you want to talk to somebody, or this sounds great, and you're like, I want to know this Jesus guy, we want to pray for you too. So let's pray. God, we just thank you so much that you reveal things to us. We thank you that there's nothing that we can do to earn your love, and there's nothing that we can do to figure out the deep things for ourselves. Everything is done by you, and it's a free gift that you give us. And I pray that you would help us to humble ourselves so that we don't think it's all our doing, but that we would recognize it's the Spirit's doing. We pray that you would impart wisdom to us, Holy Spirit, that you would encourage us if we're having doubts, that you would encourage us and help us to persevere if we're praying for a loved one. And I also pray that you would grant boldness for those who are wanting to follow Jesus for the first time. Thank you for your word. Help us to seek God's wisdom over human wisdom. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.